the sort that might once have been attached to a handbag or to a boot. It sits just on top of a small puddle of blood, strongly suggesting that it had fallen there in the aftermath of the murder. She photographs it in situ from many angles, and then, with her gloved fingers, she plucks the tassel from the floor and drops it into an evidence bag, which she seals. She stands up and turns to survey the scene of the crime. A scruffy kitchen, old-fashioned pine units, a green arga piled with pots and pans, a large wooden table piled with table mats and exercise books, and newspapers and folded washing. A small extension to the rear, with a cheap timber-glazed roof, double doors to the garden, a study area with a laptop, a printer, a shredder, a table lamp. It's an innocuous room, bland even. A kitchen like a million other kitchens all across the country. A kitchen for drinking coffee in, for doing homework and eating breakfast and reading newspapers in. Not a kitchen for dark secrets or crimes of passion. Not a kitchen for murdering someone in. But there, on the floor, is a body, splayed face down inside a large, vaguely kidney-shaped pool of blood. The knife that had been used is in the kitchen sink, thoroughly washed down with a soapy sponge. The attack on the victim had been frenzied, at least 20 knife wounds to the neck, back and shoulders. But little in the way of blood has spread to other areas of the kitchen, no handprints, no smears, no spatters, leading Rose to the conclusion that the attack had been unexpected, fast and efficient, and that the victim had had little chance to put up a fight. Rose takes a marker pen from her jacket pocket and writes on the bag containing the red suede tassel. Description: red suede, suedette tassel. Location: in front of fridge just inside door from hallway. Date and time of collection: Friday the 24th of March 2017, 11:48 p.m. It's probably nothing, she muses. Just a thing fallen from a fancy handbag. But nothing was often everything in forensics. Nothing could often be the answer to the whole bloody thing. Part 1. Chapter 1. The 2nd of January. Joey Mullen laid the flowers against the gravestone and ran her fingertip across the words engraved into the pink-veined granite. Sarah Jane Mullen, 1962 to 2016, beloved mother of Jack and Josephine. "Happy New Year, Mum," she said. "I'm sorry I didn't come to see you yesterday. Alfie and I had shocking hangovers. We went to a party over in Frenchy, at Candy's new flat. Remember Candy? Candy Boyd? She was in my year at school. She had all that long blonde hair that she could sit on. You really liked her, because she always said hello to you if she passed you on the street. Anyway, she's doing really well. She's a physiotherapist, or a chiropractor? Anyway, something like that. She cried when I told her you were dead. Everyone cries when I tell them. Everyone loved you so much, Mum. Everyone wished you were there, Mum. I was so lucky to have a mum like you. I wish I hadn't stayed away for so long now. If I'd known what was going to happen, I would never have gone away at all. And I'm sorry you never got to meet Alfie. He's adorable. He's working at a wine bar in town at the moment, but he wants to be a painter-decorator. He's at his mum's now, actually, painting her kitchen. Or at least is supposed to be. She's probably made him sit down and watch TV with her, knowing her and him. He's a bit of a procrastinator. Takes him a while to get going, but you'd love him, Mum. He's the cutest, sweetest, nicest guy. And he's so in love with me, and he treats me so well. And I know how much of a worry I was to you.